Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date's January 13th, 2020. Saints, the wolves in turmoil, most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to that one who suffered and died for you. Did you not hear the sound of the shofar? You need to heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. You need to make the choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, we'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, 620-878-4682. And emergency. Cell phone number 316-619-4886. Because of the robo calls, text me first. You can always find updates to the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information on our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we're a national satellite radio program which simulcasts live on the net internationally. It's on YouTube, some FM, so pray about supporting airtime. And hello to all my satellite listeners out there. I know you're listening. Let's thank our listener base. Places like Johannesburg, South Africa, Medellin, Colombia, Sofia, Bulgaria, and of course cities in the United States such as New York, New York, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Seattle, Washington. This week, New York, you folks outdid Wichita, Kansas as the largest group of listeners, and I think, and it was due to the program that we did last week that had to do partially with the subject that we're doing tonight. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer, and we'll get right into the program. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not my will, Father. I really pray that you lift the veil from their eyes and help them to understand and hear the truth. In your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, folks, we're living in this crazy age where we get so much information. Think about it. It's like better than Star Trek with your telephone. You just click on it, and you have accessible to most of the information in the world. Think about that. But while it's great to be able to get all that information and be warned, if you will, but it also leads to so many leads. I mean, some that are good and some that are bad, some that are fake, that so many people just tune out. Today, folks, I need you to wake up. I'm calling upon folks to contact me with information and I'm that I'm missing. Like, I know I have many listeners in Washington, D.C. I'd like to know what you're hearing in Washington about this subject. I know I have a lot of listeners there considerate and from other parts of the country and other parts of the world. I came across this video today because somebody sent it to me. And remind you, realize as you hear this, this was 13 days ago, and it's got much worse. And in fact, overnight, the admittance of what's really going on was greater today than it was yesterday. Yesterday, the news media acted like the virus had hit its peak, and it was starting to play down. And then we get what we got today. But first, let's hear this. It's about 6 minutes, I think.
I want to talk about the biggest and the most important story in the world, the Wuhan coronavirus. This coronavirus is a catastrophe on the scale of Chernobyl for China, but actually it's probably worse than Chernobyl, which was localized in its effect. The coronavirus could result in a global pandemic. While you were all sleeping overnight, the number of diagnosed cases in China increased by 30%. Now, let me be clear, that's not new cases, that is just newly admitted cases. It is probably several orders of magnitude higher than that. Also, while you were sleeping, China now has its entire border with Russia closed. 2,600 miles Russia has closed that border. El Al has shut down travel between Israel and China. Air France has shut down travel between China and France. And that's in addition to all the other countries that have already shut down travel. From what we know so far, and there's still many unknowns, this virus could have both a long incubation period, as much as 14 days, and individuals could be contagious while asymptomatic, which was not the case with SARS in 2003. Furthermore, from some cases, it appears the virus could be aerosolized, which means it doesn't require the kind of contact that you have with, say, a married couple kissing each other or a family living in close quarters in a hotel or apartment, but rather the distances we are all sitting apart right now. Yet China is still lying about all of this. They've been lying about it from the very beginning, and you don't need their history of lying about SARS in 2003, though it is relevant here. You just have to see what's happened over the last 2 months. We now know that the first case manifested no later than December 1, even though China didn't reveal it to the WHO until a month later on December 31st, when they continued to hide it from their own citizens. And they continued to say that it had been contained inside Wuhan. Today, it is in every single province in China. They also claimed for almost 2 months until earlier this week that it had originated in a seafood market in Wuhan, that locals had contracted it from animals in, say, bat soup or snake tartare. That is not the case. The Lancet published a study last weekend demonstrating that of the original 40 cases, 14 of them had no contact with the seafood market, including patient zero. As one epidemiologist said, that virus went into the seafood market before it came out of the seafood market. We still don't know where it originated. Could have been another seafood market. Could have been a farm. Could have been a food processing company. I would note that Wuhan also has China's only biosafety level 4 super laboratory that works with the world's most deadly pathogens to include, yes, coronavirus. Now, look at China's own actions. They have quarantined 60 million people, 60 million, more than the entire population of our West Coast. They've shut down schools indefinitely. Classes canceled nationwide indefinitely. Hong Kong, a part of China, has basically shut down all travel from the mainland. That's why it is essential that we immediately stop all travel on commercial aircraft between China and the United States. Making exceptions, of course, for American citizens to come back, as we just brought back yesterday. Allowing essential trade to flow as long as crews on ships and aircraft are not allowed to go into the general population in America. And making exceptions, of course, for medical personnel to go into China to try to get a handle on this. It is essential that we take those steps. And essential that we get to the bottom of China's deceit and incompetence on this measure. And gentlemen, I raise this with you because you are responsible in your combatant commands for some countries that have the most fragile public institutions, to include the most fragile public health institutions in the world. So I ask, even though as of this morning there are not yet confirmed cases of coronavirus in your combatant commands, though I suspect there will be soon, what is your assessment about the ability of the governments in your combatant commands to handle a potential global pandemic like this, General Townsend?
Thanks, Senator. So there are not, that I'm aware of, any confirmed cases, as you mentioned, but there are some suspected cases. The first suspected case I've heard of is in Djibouti, which you would imagine with the significant Chinese presence there. So the capacity of African nations to deal with this problem varies widely. For example, in Eastern Africa, Central East Africa, they've been dealing with Ebola, and they've been dealing with Ebola largely on their own and doing a pretty good job of it. So I think capacity there, but anywhere else in Africa is probably not to that degree.
Admiral Fowler.
The Venezuela crisis has already strained the social services of many of the nations. As you're aware, Senator, we had to deploy the hospital ship Comfort twice in 1 year to last deployment, 12 different nations, and in 1 5-day span, it can do the equivalent of a whole month for a region of some of the major countries.
Well, folks, that was January 30th in a Senate Armed Service Committee, and that was Senator Tom Cotton, and that was Senate Services. Okay, but now in a Thursday press conference, China said it confirmed 15,000 and some odd new cases and 254 additional deaths. Those figures include other ones, but that brings the country's total death toll to 1,300 and something, as the number of people infected hit 59,000. A spokesman for the Shanghai Commission said it in a press conference. They came up, and now they're saying that this is much greater. Now, much, much greater. Because why? They used a different way to say that people had it. Because now in Hubei province, that's H-U-B-E-I province, is they're now using CT scans to diagnose the viruses more quickly. But that's only one place. See, overnight, yesterday, do you folks not remember? Did you notice the news? Did you bother to notice the news? That yesterday they acted like it was all hitting its peak because they didn't have a lot of new cases. Well, today they're admitting more and more and more. Now, the U.S. Northern Command is executing plans to prepare for a potential pandemic of this coronavirus. It's now called COVID-19, according to Navy and Marine Corps service-wide messages issued earlier this week. An executive order issued by the Joint Staff and approved by the Defense Secretary, Mark Esper, this month, directed Northern Command and geographic combatant commanders to initiate pandemic plans, which include ordering commanders to prepare for widespread outbreaks and confining service members with a history of travel to China. Well, that's just what we're hearing. See, there's a lot more. Okay, so the Northern Command is doing this. Now, we also know that military is preparing quarantine centers for coronavirus patients in the U.S., and the Pentagon says that 11 military bases near major airports in the United States are setting up quarantine centers for possible coronavirus patients. Then that's from the Department of Defense. The Department of Human Health Services asked the Pentagon for quarantine space and case beds to fill up other coronavirus centers around the country, according to a Department of Defense statement. The Pentagon already agreed to house up to 1,000 people for quarantine, but they're wanting much more space. So if you think this is a joke, it's not. Now, there's a lot of controversy over whether it's this or came from that. In fact, I'm going to bring Frank on with me because I want something else to counterbalance this. Frank, are you with me?
I am.
Yeah. Now, and that is a good reason. You know, I like the fact that we don't always agree on things, and this is widespread. Now, some people, and, you know, J.R. Nyquist, I don't know if you ever heard him. He's been on this radio program a long, long time ago. He's a real big historian, and he always talks about Russia attacking the United States and China. And he said this was, I'm trying to get him back on, but he said that this was all part of a botched plan by the Chinese. But I'm not so sure about that. What do you think? Where did this come from? Do you think they did it? Think we did it? What is your opinion on it?
Well, I think anybody, people watching the news and stuff like that, you know, they could come up with a statement like that to say that, oh, I think the Chinese, you know, okay, you know, that's just because you don't know, you've just been listening to lies. But somebody who claims to be educated on this matter saying something like that, I question their integrity, because this was created by the Purbright Foundation. That is not a Chinese organization. That is an American organization funded by, well, I don't know really where they're based, but they're funded primarily by the Gates Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Those are the people responsible for this, what they call a virus, but it's really not a virus even. It's a protein lipoid that they have weaponized by wrapping it in fat, and that way your body accepts it and lets it get deeper into your system where the virus can, you know, attack deeper than where it normally would. I mean, they use the same technology, okay, in vitamin C and other good things. They wrap it in what they call lipoids, but it's basically
right.
Fat, cholesterol, whatever. They wrap it in this to fool your body to accept it. Okay, they put a tiny little bit, like a, you know, it's molecule of vitamin
right,
C.
Right.
They wrap it in fat, and now your body lets it in, and this vitamin C gets to these places, and you get 100% absorption. Okay, and that's what they've done with these viruses and these things. They've done exactly the same thing to get 100% absorption, and when it's a disease, that's a very bad thing for you. And it wasn't the Chinese that did it. Now, the Chinese is where the lab was at, okay?
Right.
But that lab, the same lab, was actually built for SARS and Ebola, okay?
Right.
And when the international agency, I forget their name, that goes around the world, you know, inspecting these really dangerous labs to make sure that they're okay, that, yeah, okay, you can do business with these horrible things because you're, you know, you've taken the precautions. Yeah, well, they failed, okay? They failed, and they said, no, you better not, because the bad things will happen. And this is where the coronavirus came from. So, you see, they knew about it. But do you really think the Chinese run that lab? I mean, when the virus itself and everything is all American money? I don't think so. I think it's far more likely than Bill Gates, because he is a depopulation maniac, okay?
Right,
he is
right.
A genocidal maniac, all right? And if you don't believe me, folks, you just go listen to him himself. I've got the clip here if you want to hear it. It's not that, you know, great of recording. But what he says is, you know, if we do vaccines really good, we can depopulate by 15%. Woohoo! Well,
really?
Depopulate's a nice way of saying we're going to kill 15% of the people if we do vaccinations just right. So, well,
yeah.
You know, so we're going to blame the Chinese? See, I don't remember the Chinese coming out and saying, yeah, well, hey, we're looking to kill 15% of the population. I don't ever remember them saying that. Bill Gates has said that, you know, and he's the one that happened to fund this particular virus and other ones. So, you know, pointing the finger at the Chinese, I find racist, okay? Because your only basis for pointing the finger at them is because they're Chinese, all right? Because you got no facts, man. The
right.
facts lead us to Bill Gates. That's where the facts lead. Bill Gates, the maniac, depopulation, genocidal nutcase. And he's made it very clear around the world that that's the way he feels. He does little things. He does like a cheerleading thing about killing people. You know, so we're going to blame the Chinese while this guy's sitting there with a big grin on his face as people are dying, and he's giving little talks about how if we do vaccines just right, we can kill 15% of the population, and it's the Chinese. And who is being killed more? The Chinese. Wow, boy, they're really showing us, aren't they?
Right. Let me say something there. And that's a big factor. Now, while, you know, the things that I looked at said that it would be, if it came from their lab, it came from by accident. But let's look at something a minute. You wouldn't think that they would want to, because right now their manufacturing is being shut down massively because people are being quarantined, so they're not letting them go to the factories to work. And that is going to cause a worldwide problem, is it not? Because we get so much junk from China.
Well, it's going to rise. It's going to raise prices. You know, just like it always does when things become scarce, they become more expensive. You know, that's what we can look forward to. But you know, also, we really, if we had any sense in our heads left, we would take this situation and use it to our advantage and start you know, I'm not even saying at this point, you know, because it takes a lot more time to do that. But, I mean, how about all these factories that we used to have that actually got shut down? And I realize, you know, that a lot of the equipment from inside these factories were boxed up and shipped off to other countries, and that's just fine. Why don't we buy new stuff and put them back in these old buildings
and start a brand new manufacturing trend in America. I mean, if the Chinese are going to, you know, drop off, and this should also show us that, look, if we're dependent on another country, anything happens over there, we're negatively affected. This is not a good plan.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I can't remember who it was I heard yesterday, but they were saying almost, you know, the tit for tat on Fox News was saying that exact thing, and I think it was a senator, that that America, that maybe this would wake up Americans to do what Trump wants to do, and I'm not saying it just because I'm praising Trump, it's just what he said, that Trump wanted to do is to bring manufacturing back to the United States, because when people start having a shortage to build iPhones and this and that and the other, maybe they'll wake up and see that the safest place to build those things is indeed in the United States. That cheap isn't safe. Back to you.
Well, and we're going to find out that cheap isn't cheap anymore. You know, I mean,
right.
Because if they're not going to work, you know, they've got what they've got made already. But as that starts running down, they're going to start asking more money for it, because that's what happens when things get scarce. Demand,
right.
And what do they call it? Something in demand. But, you know, I mean, supply and demand, that's what it is. Supply goes down, demand goes up, prices go up. Okay, that's just, it's just not, it's math, okay? It's really simple math, all right? Of
right.
course, if you go to the public schools, you know, you won't understand that. But, I mean, it really is simple math. But
hey, they used to teach that in public. Used to
yeah,
teach
I know.
That in public school.
You know, listen, Dan, I would, and this is all, look, I've got my opinion based on the facts I believe, okay?
Right.
Other people have their opinion on the facts they believe, okay?
Right.
And that's really what it's all about. You know, we've all got facts, but the thing is, which facts are true and which facts are not true? Well, a lot of the times you can, you know, facts are great, but you also have to look at motive. Now,
motive.
I would be...
I agree with that. And the reason I'm interrupting, Frank,
I
we
know,
got less than 30 seconds before break. And when we come back, I want you, if you have that audio, bring it on, brother. I want to hear it about what Gates said.
Oh, yeah, sure. I got it.
Okay. All right, folks. We'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
In the After the children of Israel were in the Promised Land and the sacrificial system for atonement of sin was in place, they still had a choice to make. Would they continue to serve the gods of their fathers, or would they put away those gods and serve the Lord? Joshua cautioned the people that their willful association with other gods would not be forgiven. He warned them that the Lord would turn and do them evil and consume them even after he had done them good. Joshua petitioned the people, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." We know from the biblical record that the children of Israel did not put away the paganism that was among them. Because of that, they were sold into the hands of their enemies, and when they cried unto the Lord, he told them to go and cry unto the gods that they had chosen, and let those gods deliver them. The very same pagan gods and goddesses which the children of Israel refused to put away in Joshua's time can still be found by one name or another in the organized church of today. Balaam is the equivalent of the sun gods celebrated on December 25th, and Ashtaroth is now known as Easter. We too have a choice to make. Who will we look to in the time of our distress? Psalms 34 tells us that the righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Proverbs 28 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network, and we're talking with Frank about the coronavirus, and I don't know where this will all lead to, but right now we're talking about Bill Gates. Are you still with me, Frank?
I am.
Okay. Did you tell the folks what you're about to play? And
It's Bill Gates at one of his many talks that he gives, and he's here talking about vaccines, so it's pretty self-explanatory. It's only it's like a little under 3 minutes, so you'll get the gist. And I'll probably cut it short because they, for dramatic effect, they they go over it again and again a couple of times. But anyway, give it a listen, folks. This is out of the horse's
First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
All right.
Yeah. From the horse's mouth, perhaps 10 or 15%. And, folks, by the way, I sent an article from Natural News over to our webpage that talks about this and points that out. But I don't know what can be plainer than that. What do you think?
Well, I'm just surprised that not more people said, now, what? Wait a minute there, Bill. I thought vaccines were supposed to make people live longer. I thought it was supposed to keep them from dying from these diseases, not kill 15% more. Bill, what's up with that, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. And in this article, it's really pretty blunt. And folks, if you don't ever go to naturalnews.com, you should. They got some good articles. But it's really crazy. And you know, and that's what I was saying earlier. You know, you hear the part about where I was saying that we get so much information every day that we really got it there at our fingertips, but people get so much information, they don't know which is true, not true, and so a lot of people block it out. What do you think?
Well, that's true. I mean, people, you know, they get overwhelmed with bad news, and I don't really blame them because, you know, I mean, it's an onslaught is what it is. But my point at the end of the last segment there was that, you know, look, if we're going to blame anybody, and you know, who knows? I mean, like I made the point that, you know, I have facts that I rely on that I believe. Other people have other facts that they rely on, and we both can't be right. So, you know, all the facts can't be right. But, you know, we pick and choose what we believe, and we could be wrong. You know, we don't know, any of us. But if I was going to blame anybody, now, okay, how do you investigate a crime? Okay, well, you say, well, who benefits? In other words, who had a motive, right?
Right.
Well, I don't think the Chinese have much of a motive in killing themselves. Okay, you pointed out the trade problems this will create, the economic problems this will create for them, the social problems that obviously we don't know much about because they're not going to tell us about, you know, how many people they have to beat to death in the streets,
right.
You know, and all that. So I don't see much of a motive for them doing it. However, I could see quite a bit of motive for, say, the United States intelligence agencies doing it. I could see quite a bit of motive for there, and I think we just talked about it. Let's cripple their production so we have a reason to do our production. Because the bottom line about why we haven't yet said, okay, that's it, let's start building factories here and stop relying on the Chinese, is because of the cost. It's still cheaper to buy it from China. When that changes, everything changes. That's when the factories start getting built. It's all about the money. When it starts becoming as, you know, cost-effective to build it here as it is to build, you know, have them build it and ship it here,
right,
we'll start building it here, okay? And that's the whole thing. And if their manufacturing slows down, the prices will go up.
Right.
So
right,
if we're going to blame anybody, start looking at who benefits.
Right.
It's not
right,
the Chinese.
Well, and here's another thing, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I look at things, you know, people all talk about deep state and everything. I don't know exactly what you can point and say deep state, but I do honestly believe and know. It's just like people say there's trillions of dollars missing from the budget. Well, they don't know where it's at. They know where it's at. It went into a thing called a black budget, which funds another part of the government that really you got to wonder sometimes if they're not the ones absolutely running everything. And that's what we're seeing right now, I believe, is a fight between, when we talk about President Trump and people that are trying to do things better. I mean, come on, look at how many abortion clinics and things, and abortion is way down. That work one part of the government's trying to do, while we have another part of the government want to stay to the status quo and do the things that we're doing. I believe that underground, so to speak, or whatever you want to call it, deep state, is working and doing the things that you're talking about. Am I close to it? What you think? Back to you.
Yeah, well, you're close to what I think. I don't know if it's true, you know,
right,
but I mean, that is what I believe is true. Or put it this way, I believe that's what's most likely true, because
right,
I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't have any inside secret agents telling me anything, you know, so
no.
I don't know. I have to try to figure it out like everybody else. But listen, folks, this is a general good practice. Okay, anytime you're trying to figure out, you know, something's going wrong here, and I don't know who's doing it, but somebody's doing it, well, the best place to start is always who benefits. Now, sometimes, you know, it's just a coincidence, and they
right,
didn't really do it, but they do benefit from it. But that's a good place to start investigating. Who benefits from this? Whatever it is, who benefits? Generally speaking, you got a really good chance that that's the one responsible.
Right. It's just like in a criminal case. They say, well, how did you solve that case? Well, follow the money, you know, and that's the same thing. Follow the motive. The money. They always look for the motive. first. That's why, you know, if a wife gets killed, they always look at the husband first or vice versa. But you know what I'm saying? So you're being spot on. Follow who benefits from it. But sometimes you got to look deeper because, you know, somebody might say, well, okay, your wife died in this crazy accident. Ain't really an accident. And you've got a million-dollar policy that paid off. Well, that looks like a motive, but it's not really it. It's something deeper back to you.
Well, sure. That's what I said, that, you know, it's just a good place to start. I mean, you could be wrong, but, you know, it could just be a coincidence that you benefited, but you didn't make it happen. You didn't want it to happen. It just happened to be that you benefited. You know, I mean, it's like anybody who gets life insurance on their spouse or anybody, and they die. Well, you know, did you kill them? Because you benefit. Well, okay, yeah, but, you know, and I'm sure that happens from time to time. But the majority of people don't go and kill their spouse just because they got, you know, life insurance on them. You know?
Well, right, but that is generally who they, well, they always say, well, we want to eliminate the spouse.
Well, yeah, that's where you start.
Right.
You always start with who benefits, except when you're investigating the government.
Right. Well, it's a little deeper. Well, there is the point. It's that black budget and those people that are doing things. I guess some people have called it shadow government, whatever, but there is something there that is functioning that we can't see. We're not allowed to see, and not even the president is allowed to see or made aware of it. Now, hang on with me, Frank. I want to keep you in this conversation. I just want to tell the people something else because I got another direction. Okay. I kind of want to go with this. Anyway, now, the CDC, now this came out Thursday, and they were talking about how Dr. Robert Redfield, the director, said that the transmission of the COVID-19, I don't know, call it the coronavirus, is very well possible because some people had nothing more than a little bit of a sore throat, and they can carry it for over 2 weeks, and during that time be contagious to other people. My thought switches. Now, they're going to start testing people in five different cities. Mind you, we've already talked about the 11 bases being set up. That's an admission. That's a fact. They're being set up for quarantine centers. Here's the question. Even no matter who set this thing off, it has the potential to go worldwide and go worldwide quick. My thought is now, what do you think, Frank? How serious do you think we're into this?
Well, that's the question that I don't really have an answer to. I don't really even have that much of an opinion about it, which is odd for me, but I don't know. I can't say. I'm not even leaning one way or the other. I don't know if this is going to turn into some sort of pandemic thing or if it's just going to, you know, it was just a, let's get a rise out of these people, see what we can do. Or let's just put a little bump in the road to, mess up the Chinese production here for a little bit. You know,
right.
Who knows? You know, I don't know. But it could be very bad if, you know, some of the stuff I'm reading about this virus, this thing that they created, this invention.
Right.
You know, and folks, you know, you know when I say...
Just say what it is. It's a weapon.
Look,
go
there's
ahead.
People out there that think we're crazy, Dan, when we say, hey, did you know the coronavirus is patented? You know, well, they think that's crazy, but it's not crazy, and you can go look it up. I mean, honestly, just type in coronavirus patent. You're going to come up and go to the Justia site because they're set up easy to follow. And and you'll read all about it, and they refer to it as an invention.
And see, that goes back to that information thing, that we have the potential in just a cell phone to be able to reach all the information in the world. But nowadays, Frank, look, back in the 90s when I was, first got it started in prophecy things and, you know, talked to a lot of people at the Prophecy Club and other places, they were really like a sponge and wanted to absorb information. But now some of these same people are just like, you know, it's like they're numb to it or whatever. Especially when we're seeing the things that we were warning about in the 90s, and we warned about things like this, now coming to fruition, it's like it's no big deal. What do you think the cause of that is?
I think it's just an information overload. They've heard it, the boy that cried wolf, you know, scenario. I mean, we've heard this. How many pandemics
we've heard
have
a lot.
There been? I mean, how many pandemics have we been through in the last 10 years, Dan? I mean, they're always, every year they're talking about, oh, my God, this could turn into a pandemic. You know, and by now everybody's like, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Go sit down, boy that cried wolf. Nobody's listening to them. Which is not a good thing, because one of these days it's going to be the real deal, and you know, people are going to be dumb and get killed, and you know, it's sad, but this is what happens. And when you say, you know, you can go to your cell phone, the information is just everywhere, and it would be a wonderful thing if all the information, or at least 99% of it, was actually true. Okay, but we're running about 50-50 on the internet, I'd say. You know,
right.
It's 50-50, true and false, you know, and you got to figure out what's right and what ain't. And that is
right.
An adventure, which means you can't do that. Just wake up and decide, well, you know, close your eyes and stick your finger and go, okay, there it is. That whatever, wherever my finger went, that's what it is. You know, I mean, we've all played that game on a map.
Right. Like,
okay, let's boink, and then you go look at that place. But you can't do that, okay? You can't just do that with information. You've got to research. You've got to look it up. You've got to dig. I call it rabbit holes because, I don't know, it probably happens to everybody out there. You go on there, something in your mind you want to look up on the internet, so you do. You get there, and then you start following links. And in an hour, you find yourself, you don't even know where you are. You don't even know
right.
what you were looking for in the first place, you know, because
right.
now you've gone down so many rabbit holes, which is cool. It's a lot of fun. If you've got the time to do it, I suggest you do it. You can learn a lot. But you've got to be careful. And the importance of this, the more you read and look at, the easier it becomes to decide what's BS and what's not.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is true. And let's go with this, too. A lot of people don't understand that, you know, and I have this disagreement with a lot of people. And I used to have a disagreement with my wife until I started proving it to her when she started doing radio with me. And then she realized it. But the point is people go, the first choice, what is it? It's okay, Google, and they ask Google for the answer. Google is a disinformation source because, you know, not only does Google have their own motivations, but then the search links that you'll get, the first ones are paid advertisements, and people don't realize that. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, that's true. But Google or any other search engine, you know, I mean, even if your search results come up the way, you know, and they don't on Google because, you know, your first page is always, oh, let me look up Donald Trump. Well, the first two pages, five pages are all bad, bad orange man until you get to the fifth page or so. Then you start getting some stuff, you know. But this is what
right.
they do, and this is just the way it is, and we have to be aware of that. Now, look, you know, I've never shunned away from people I know are liars, okay? Matter of fact, you know, I've told this story before. Back in the day, like you, I wasn't necessarily doing right or hanging around with people that were. You know,
yeah.
And I had a lot of friends I didn't trust in certain circumstances. You see, I mean, okay, so I got a friend that, man, there's no way I'm leaving him alone in the room with my girlfriend.
Right.
But I could give this guy $100 to go get me a dollar's worth of stuff at the store, and he'll bring back $99. I know
right.
these things about him. Then I know another friend who, man, I ain't giving him a dollar because he'll steal it, he'll take it, and I will never get anything. But he would never put his hands on my girlfriend, and he would protect her for me if I wasn't there. You see, everybody's different, and you got to know who you're dealing with, and you can't expect people to be anything other than who they are, you know?
Very good.
You know, so if you don't like somebody because, well, gosh, you know, every time I turn my back, he's pawing my girlfriend, right? Well, okay, if you can't handle that, then say, look, we're not friends anymore. But if you say, yeah, but, you know, I mean, I can trust the guy with my money. I can trust the guy with my life. I can trust the guy with all these other things. I just can't, you know, he's got a problem with, you know, girls, you know. You know, but you're going to have to adjust. Either say
right.
we're not friends anymore or understand who he is or she, you know, and say, okay, look, I'm going to have to work within the parameters of who you are or
we're not friends. You know, that's it. But,
right.
You know, people try to, well, I like these things about you. I don't like that about you, but that's okay because we'll change those things about you. Well, how well does that ever work?
Yeah.
I mean, really,
yeah.
The only one that can change you is you and God, okay?
Right.
Anybody else coming in and saying, look, I don't like the cut of your jib. You're going to have to get new sails and blah, blah, blah. You get pounded up. You know, you're not going to listen to that, you know?
Right. Yeah, I agree. That's some very sound advice, Frank. And, you know, and I do realize that because I do have certain people that I trust for certain things, but the same, like, people say, well, why are you friends with them? Because they do this. Well, you know, they're a friend, but I don't take them around that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
That's
exactly
right.
What you're talking about, because I know who they are. I know what they're going to do.
Well, what's that old movie thing? A man's got to know his limitations. And if you're going to be friends with somebody, you got to know their limitations, too.
Yeah.
Or you're going to be, going to be disappointed. I guarantee you.
Right. I agree 1,000%. That's spot on. And that's also, it also goes at the information that you look at.
Yep.
Because it's like you can look at a liberal newspaper, and, you know, there's some things that I pull out of them, and I will trust them on some subjects to a point or other places. But I first judge, when somebody sends me an article, I first judge who sent it to me. Okay, then what's his motivation? The second thing as a researcher, then I look at who wrote that article. What's his motivation? What's his ideology? And so on and so forth. You need to look at those things. Most people don't look past, oh, they CNN said it. You know what I'm saying? Back to you.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And, you know, you don't want to be, you know, you want to have access to as many people, you know, that you can get along with as you can. You know, I mean, you don't want to just discard people if you don't have to. But you can't think you're going to change anybody. Just like you can't go to the New York Times and make their lies true. As much
right.
as Democrats would like to believe that, you can't do that. It's just not true. It'll never be true. And you just have to accept that. But you can learn a lot from their lies, even, okay?
Yeah.
You go, okay, what are they lying about today? So you go and read what they're lying about, and you go, uh-huh. Okay, now you can go, well, I know they're lying, so what's their motive? What are they trying to accomplish? It gets much easier, okay? It gets really easier if you just accept things the way they are. Now, I'm not saying stuff that you can change, that you don't like, that you shouldn't try to change. Obviously, you can. What is that prayer that the alcoholics say? The Serenity Prayer.
The Serenity Prayer. Yeah, you know, help me to change, to accept the things I cannot change and to change it, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm not an alcoholic, so I don't know it by heart. But
everybody should know that by heart because, you know, there's look, I went to AA meetings all across the country as a homeless guy. Because, little thing, free coffee
yeah.
and donuts, and you can bum cigarettes there, too.
Wait a minute. While we're on the subject of homeless, hey, I'm going to have to get you out of here because I need to talk a little bit about the Mission Church real quick. I got some things to get across.
Oh, you got thing going on, don't you?
Yeah, there you go. anyway, all right. Thanks for being on, Frank.
Thanks for having me.
And folks, tune in to Frank. He's got his own program called The Frank Report. Anyway, thanks, Frank. Be blessed. Anyway, folks, number one, as a finale to what it is. Look, stay tuned. You need to stay tuned to our blog, which is prophecyhour.com. I post the latest breaking news about this. I don't know. This feels different than in the SARS or any of these other things and the things that I've seen. I really do believe that it could spread really bad. How serious is it? A lot of people get infected. Some live, some die. They think mainly it's respiratory, goes to your lungs. That's what they're saying. A lot of people like me, you know, I don't have COPD, but I do have some bronchitis and some other issues, you know. So people that have weak lungs, it's going to hit there first. Pray about it. All things, you got to pray about it. You got to get right with the Father first because we don't know. You could die tomorrow. You might be here when you sure return. We don't know. But you got to be ready to see him face to face every day, every moment of your life. So you need to do that. So just take this to prayer. But I honestly believe that you should spread this around that you should talk to people about it and make sure they're aware that this could happen. This could be the different one. In fact, I posted that Tom Cotton thing on Facebook, and it shocked a lot of people. It showed they were listening but not listening. So, also spread these radio programs. The other thing I want to say is, folks, I have people in other parts of the world. I know you listen to me. I'm talking about in China. I'm talking about in the Philippines and Japan, where there's a bunch of cases of these. You know, in fact, we heard that somebody was executed in that North Korea is executing people because of this. You folks can 619-4886. Send me a text. If you know something, send me a text. I will not expose you. Let me know what you think, especially folks in Washington, D.C., because I got a lot of listeners that listen in Washington, D.C. Now, I don't know if you guys are a National Security Agency or who it is that's listening over there, but, hey, I'd like to know what you think, as I'd like to know what everybody thinks, and then we'll talk about it on radio. But, folks, we really do need your help with the Wichita Mission Church. Right now, you know, January is and February is a dead month for us until income tax start coming back in. We need your help. We're out of everything, not everything at the Mission Church, but we need to restock. I predominantly need, I have people coming in almost every day asking for cough medicines and cold medicines, flu medicines, normal things, and they die because they don't have them. You got that? There are people dying. There's already a pandemic, and it's in the poor community. If you got money, you can go buy those things. We need help. Pray about supporting the Mission Church. We need help for medications, cold, flu, so on and so forth. We need your help. And you realize that Mission Church is 60 miles from us. We're round trips 120 miles plus all the miles we put on things. We need your help. We really, really do. Folks, we're all responsible to care one for another. We are our brother's keepers. You know, the word of Yahweh says that. Do you not read it? All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. The word of Yahweh records that Yeshua said that we're supposed to store up treasure in heaven, not here on earth. And we're supposed to put His work and His things first. My wife and I and people in our family have given our whole lives to caring for the poor because the word of Yahweh says that. In fact, it was Yeshua said it. Whenever you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. So we serve a plate of food or give a thing of cough medicine. It's like doing it to Yeshua. And clothing, there's all kinds of people, which I know you got clothing. I got a huge listing audience over there. Don't you have any old clothing that you could donate? Our clothes closet's empty. We need help. You can donate online. Wherever that thing is called a telephone, right? You know, you can mail a check or money order. Find all the information at where? ProphecyHour.com. ProphecyHour.com. And folks ask me, want to know about me writing a book? Yeah, I'm working on a book. It'd be a lot easier. I could get it done quickly, and it would fund the Mission Church if I could get this book done. It would be easier to get it done if I had a laptop in which to do it. Because when I sit down here in front of my big computer, all these things come in and put me on rabbit trails. So you can help that way. You can, again, if you don't want us to help with the poor, I haven't paid radio airtime yet this month. It's almost the middle of the month. You can donate for radio airtime. Just mark it for radio. Again, you can donate online or over the phone. Send a check or money order. Find all the information at prophecyhour.com. But the most important thing is you really need to listen to this. And by the way, we'll have Pastor Carl Gallup's on next up at 7 o'clock. You must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for repented sins. And He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, only, can't earn your way to heaven. Only through Him is the way to the Father. You can't earn your way there. You have to repent. You know, the Word says, what must we do to be saved? We'll repent and be baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, You would please bless and keep them, and that Your face would shine upon them, and that You would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. So an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.